19 and a half minute pod, sitting in the car. I can't imagine this will be a 10 minute pod, but also what tends to kind of happen. So, middle of the week, the takes kind of build up, and then certain analogies kind of come to your head when you're at work, or you think of this, that, and the other thing. You think of a lot of stuff. And then at a certain point, excuse me, it becomes less fun and it becomes more like work. Organizing all this. So imagine, listeners, that classic Mad Men kind of baseline. And you can imagine Gilbert Arenas saying something stupid about Hakeem Olajuwon. And you can imagine the execrable Ben Thompson on Bill Simmons. What did he say? This is how it felt. He said something. It was pretty, and to be fair, it's pretty moderately innocuous, but kind of doing the thing everyone's doing, which is like, do I really want Giannis to stay anyway? I mean, I think he said, do I really want him to have a Dirk-like career? But I think he said, like, I don't want him to leave, but he should leave, and he shouldn't re-sign. A lot of people do. Maybe this would be a good place to spot. So imagine, is this theater of the mind kind of working for you guys? Or I just say, imagine the tremendous intro to the kind of Shuttered podcast. Just imagine it. It was great. And then probably after that, if there was a game going on, maybe I'd give you a Packers game montage, and then maybe after that, I'd just play the entirety of Basketball is Beautiful Part Two, which talks about all the Giannis stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I had a lot of takes, and the take well kind of went dry. I don't think there's any. This podcast is about a lot of things. Ultimately, it's about me being right. Because if I'm wrong, we're not talking about it generally, right? But Aaron Rodgers, Chris Middleton, Scottie Pippen, Gilbert Arenas, a million other things that no one was talking about. Dustin Gossie, the Bucks uniforms, and all these other kind of things. Again, this podcast is to celebrate the times, or at least I think I'm right. Maybe I'm not right. I've never been more right than Adam Silver, who it's just making me think of so many other things. All of a sudden, it's like Adam Silver is trying to grow a spine and I don't know. It would appear that at this point it's too late, but all of a sudden she's gonna try to sort of be a tough guy about the whole Lillard situation or all these other kind of things. The thing about kind of the hot stove version of the NBA summer is fans are into it. I'm into it when it doesn't involve Giannis to a certain degree, but there's a certain kind of way that these things kind of have to manage. And again, the older I've gotten, the more the stern kind of model of, because everything doesn't have to be a rule. You can just straight up intimidate people and get what you want a fair amount of the time also, right? And that's kind of the stern thing. You know what though? I do want to talk about because I feel I don't know how many of these overall themes I'll get to, and again, who knows if any of this is particularly compelling, but maybe 2 months ago, there was a question that came up that I didn't get to touch on, and this is sort of an evergreen thing. I mean, it was the middle of the summer, but this is an evergreen thing. But I think this is important, quote unquote important, to at least address. There was this whole thing about would you rather be James Harden or Robert Horry? Did we hear all this? I don't know if I heard this on Tech File. I heard multiple places were talking about this, though. Again, kind of a summer topic. And I think, of course, we're rounding off, but But it was like, well, Ori made 58 million over the course of his career or something like that, maybe 52. And then the question was, were you going to factor in inflation? And James Harden, whatever, he's going to make 300 million or something. Maybe that's with Adidas money or not, I don't know. But just, and people were like, well, I'm taking the money. And if that's what you really think, we can't be friends. Not only that, if that's what you really think, I think you're a moral degenerate. After I explain. Now, maybe, you know, again, maybe you don't have a particular understanding of any of this. I don't think people, like, so how much is money worth? And this goes back to the Giannis conversation. This is every conversation. So just imagine your finances, dear listener. Imagine your finances, whatever they are. Even, you know, the current state of the world, inflation, all of that. I'm going to give you $1 million. How long will that last for you? What would you do with $1 million? Tax-free, let's say tax-free for the sake of the round numberedness of it all. So we're not talking $550,000 or whatever it is, depending on what state or however any of that works. But just to say, I'm putting in your bank. To say it better than this, I'm not going to give you $1 million. There's $1 million in your bank. You already pay taxes on it. Okay. $1 million. You know, it takes me 10 years to make $1 million. And that's not, you know, that's not profit, right? So if you had $1 million in your bank, you can make changes in your life or not. If I kept working, that would last me the rest of my life. And if I stopped working, that $1 million would last like 20 years. Something like that. Maybe for you, the $1 million, I don't know. Maybe for you, $1 million, maybe you take a bunch of trips. Maybe you pay off some stuff. I don't know. Maybe you got, you know, you're betting on Chris Middleton turnover unders and you got to like give it back to the mob. I don't know. But I'm going to give you $1 million. Even with inflation, even with everything else, $1 million is so much money. If you value the important things in life. To me, $1 million is a lot, right? So, but there's this weird thing. So that's a weird ask for maybe you're up. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe I have upper class listeners. Assuming, you know, the few brave few who listen to this, you're lower class, middle class, like me. So, but the point is, $1 million. We can all agree, still a lot of money, right? It was a lot more with Dr. Evil in 1963 or whatever, but that's still a ton of money. And the game has got us all so twisted where we're like, well, yeah, I mean, but yeah, Giannis can't leave 40 more million on the table, or yeah, it wouldn't make sense for him to re-up this when he could hold off for another 40 million. And it's kind of, and we're talking multiples of hundreds of millions of dollars. And there was the whole Saudi money thing and what all this is doing to sports. But I don't know at what point, first of all, I mean, obviously that's damaging for fan player relations or just the way people feel about these kind of things. But like, it's not the best thing. Like Chris Middleton's kid, you know, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday's kids are going to be making $800 million a year. But you're still going to be banking $52,000 a year. You know what I mean? And so I don't expect, like, the incentives are not aligned for these dudes to be loyal. But anyway, so back to Ori. Again, you see how I'm not going to finish any of these points, clearly. Robert Ori. So aren't you kids? Here's the thing I don't get. Like, so you kids, you're all about mental health and all this. And, you know, my mental health is disrespected and mental health and I'm depressed and I'm suffering from all this and I'm on all this medication. So let's talk about mental health. You can choose to be James Harden and live your debauched life and whatever else and be someone who disrespected the game of basketball and someone who was, but everywhere you go, everyone knows you're a loser. And you're not just a loser. You're you're like grifter number one, right? You're the Typhoid Mary of grifting, right? Before you, there was none. You're the guy. And you're the biggest loser. Like, you make Westbrook look like a winner. And but you've got $300 million or whatever else. And but people basically know you for what grows out of your face. There's a certain iconography to you. People don't respect you. I'll tell you what you, what I didn't see any pictures of in NBA 75 where, like, Harden and Westbrook and all these guys are there on the strength, and Iverson, frankly, and those guys who made it on the strength of winning an MVP. What you didn't see was a whole lot of pictures of, like, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Bob Pettit and all these guys embracing James Harden or these guys with respect, because that's, they're not worthy of respect. But it's hundreds of millions of dollars more, right? Or you can hold your head high as Robert Horry and everyone knows what you did, if they know you at all. So you've got, so I don't know how much money Robert Horry has left, but you have enough money that maybe people don't beg for you too much from your family or whatever else. You have enough money. Maybe you have another kind of job. Maybe you find a way to have a job doing, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year so you can keep stuff going. But you have some millions, and everywhere you go, people know that's the dude. Everywhere you go. And it's not like, oh, they cheated for you. And it's not like Steve Kerr or something where it's like, oh, you hit that one shot. Everywhere you go, people are like, you cut our heart out. In 2004, you did that. You killed Sacramento. People are walking around saying, hey, my guy, if it wasn't for you, my team would have won. Everywhere you go, multiple cities everywhere, you are Mr. Big Shot. So what does that do for your mental health with your $57 million? Does that not matter to anyone anymore? Or is it just cream? Is it just cash rules everything around me? And I can't believe that so many people were like, no, I want them hundreds of millions. It's like, don't you want to, in your own head, forget about anybody else, in your own headspace, don't you want to be a winner? Like, imagine the greatest day. This is not, we're talking about, probably hope it's not related to sports. Imagine the best day of your life. Or maybe not that, you know, imagine the day in your life where you came through in the clutch. Or you're like, this was just a perfect day because of this and this and that. And imagine everywhere you went, people were like referencing that day. But it was like 10 days. And everywhere you go, people are like, man, you hit that shot. Like, you know, the Pistons would have had another one if it wasn't for you when you hit that shot with the Spurs and when you hit this spot, this and that. And plus, if you're Robert Horry, like you were a dunker when you were young and you're just big enough. I guess I don't know how to end this conversation, but that's kind of the whole thing with, like, we're just doing counting things. And it also, this ties into the Nick Chubb thing. Is quiet as it's kept now, does sports need a sacrifice? Do we subconsciously, mostly subconsciously, do we tend to care about the NFL so much more because those dudes are so relatable because it's one hit away from your career is over or your career is severely diminished, and because they're making so much less? Because there is, like, okay, so if I understand how what's a good word? I guess toxic, that would seem to a lot of people, but like, if you break it down, every movie, every, you know, war movie or every just kind of Avengers type movie or most kind of general action fair, or general even prestige fair, it gets to the third act and maybe one of the hero's buddies dies or sacrifices himself or something takes place. And and they know, like, if you have multiple, especially you have kind of multiple generic male character as well, one of them is going to be a traitor and one of them is going to heroically sacrifice himself or whatever else, because it just adds something to the experience, right, on some level. And which is kind of where the meme of just, like, dudes naming, hey, you know, dudes naming offensive linemen, dudes naming football players. You remember these guys, like, they're not there for 20 years, right? They're not institutions. It might end tonight, but you better watch because it might end tonight, right? And so the Nick Chubb thing made me think of the Malcolm Brogdon thing, which is just about the last time I thought, wow, it'd be tragic if this guy doesn't get to generational money. Because if generational money is assumed, there is a weird, and maybe this is why older people tend to gravitate toward college sports before they got paid, or maybe they just gravitate to high school sports. Not that everybody doesn't have incentives or perks, but it's just kind of the idea of watching a movie of someone's early life in a Remember the Titans kind of sense and watching them make good. And basketball doesn't have that because everyone's rich from the jump. And so it's just rare kind of second round picks or guys who have degenerate. There was another dude. Who is this guy? You'll know whatever that guy's name was. He played for Pitt and they knew his knees were toast. And I think he went to the Spurs for 1 year or a couple of years. And he was like pretty good. And then he was out of the league. And I don't know if he made $1 million or not. But the last time I was thinking, boy, it'd be really unfair if this guy only made 1.5 for his entire career, was Brogdon. Because there is something to that. There is something to that. Like there is a sacrifice enhances, sacrifice isn't the right word necessarily. I think as sports fans and as guys in particular, maybe more as women, I don't know. I think there's something about watching something that's fundamentally unfair that I think gets people in the feels. If you're like, wow, the way this happened to this guy was unfair. This guy is part of the Kaepernick discourse. It's part of a lot of discourses where it's just like people need to feel something. People can't just feel. If the dialogue and the discourse and all this kind of stuff is too unsafe, is too safe, then whatever happens, like everyone's okay. And it's just, oh, we were robbed of seeing this career. We were robbed of this guy playing, 18 years. But we're not saying, I mean, Derrick Rose, but even Derrick Rose, like, does anyone think Derrick Rose isn't rich? Right. So it's just, but that's the sort of thing. Oh, this was such a shame. This guy was going to be our savior. But it's not like, oh, it's such a shame. He's going to be like Vin Baker at Starbucks. But in my generation, Vin Baker could be at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or wherever he ended up. And so I think with a lot of people, their compassion doesn't really kick in for people until they see him laid low and be like, oh, I kind of like that guy. He's not like, who's LeBron's mom, right? Who's what's that dude? Looked like he had herpes the whole time. Anyway, you know who I'm thinking of, Delonte West, who apparently is living on the street. Well, that's tragic. Like, that hits you, unless you're a monster, that hits you in the feels, right? And you're like, oh, that's so sad. Look, that's so tragic. And again, I'm not, like, saying, like, we're happy to see that kind of stuff. But, like, that doesn't really tend to exist in the NBA anymore. Which probably brings us to Arenas. I don't even know if I want to talk about Arenas, but it's just that kind of thing. Like Arenas should be bagging groceries right now, right? Aren't we all terrified of guns and the whole gun culture and unsafe, like the whole thing, right? But Arenas is a clown. Like I actually don't have too much animus for him. He's kind of a funny knucklehead guy and then just a big old liar. But I guess to say it another way, if Gilbert Arenas was blackballed out of the league, that's kind of how stuff would have went in the 80s, where like people disappeared for drugs or coke or the Michael Ray Richardson or these guys. And obviously Reggie Lewis or like drugs with a heart condition, maybe, or Len Bias or all these kind of things. But the typical sports fan was tied in far more to, I guess Tommy John was kind of the thing for like that in baseball, but just like, oh wow, I really like this team. I really like this guy. Oh, now there's this big injury now. Now, dot, dot, dot. Now it's over. This is the most incoherent podcast ever. Let's talk about Giannis. I'll remember a couple other things, but I just want to say that, like, so now that I've explained it, if you're like, no, I'd still rather be James Harden. I'd still rather, gain weight to get out of this. And I'd rather be known for nothing good, for absolutely nothing good. Never hit a big shot. I'd rather be the biggest loser in sports with $300 million. Or every time I'm at Starbucks, somebody taps me on the shoulder and mentions one of my 12 greatest triumphs. I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm numb to it now, but someone's like, man, you're the man. Wow, you're awesome. But I guess like the Let me know. Let me know in the comments, I guess. But that's kind of the thing. The Giannis thing. Maybe I'll think of some other stuff to say. But the Giannis thing. I'm going to try not to repeat myself for too much of the stuff I said in my video. And I think... Well, of course, again, I was right. Duh, I was right. We're not going to touch on number 22 today. Oh, I already did. Let's keep the streak going, right? It's a Cal Ripken, Brett Favre-esque streak of this. Except to say what angered me so much about the Ben Thompson on Simmons thing is because these guys cannot now at the end. Even now, it's still, oh, this lineup sucks. We've been talking about the ups and downs of this lineup for 7 years, for however many years, since we didn't get out of the first round, since we got out of the second round, since we lost to the Raptors in 2019. We've been talking about every different version of this. Every podcast is, hey, what about the roster? Could we do this and that? And guys like him and who's the dude, you know, to some extent, Kenny, but who's the guy? Who's the guy who be on Lockdown Bucks sometimes? It's not Dario Melendez, the other guy. Anyway, I don't appreciate the like, well, if Giannis had, like, we've been talking about the lineup this, we've been talking about the lineup this whole time. Everyone. Whether we were right, whether we were wrong, whether the stuff that was hyped up would have worked for a little bit, wouldn't have worked too long. Everybody's been talking about the lineup this whole time, and all of a sudden it's like, well, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess the window's closing. I guess this and that. And that's, am I crazy? That's what we've been talking about. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. And I was like, yeah, well, I guess we resign these guys. A lot of people are putting, and a lot of people I like now are just putting it all on Drew because the question is Drew more of an asset than Chris? Could we do this? Whatever. We got Drew and Chris and Brooke. We've been saying this literally every year. Literally every year. And then people jump on your back and they'll be like, you would have traded. You would have done this for, what's his name? The Milwaukee guys on the Pacers. And it's like, of course I would. Of course I would have got Young. Now, with all that being said, so now it's all on Marjan. And if you're saying that now, great. What happened to people who were saying that in real time? Like, and this is the thing. So this is the thing. And this applies Frank and Eric and everybody else. Great. Great dudes. Not great dudes. Whatever. I just feel like. And look, I'm not saying anybody wasn't a hardcore Bucks fan. Eric Name is a journalist and that's a whole other thing. And I understand that based on the DMs that I like Eric a lot more than a lot of some of the rest of y'all. If you watch the NBA, I guess what I'm saying is a lot of people to me are still outing themselves as we watch the whole NBA as a league and we're just kind of rooting for the league. And it's extra special, like donut bonus cookies, if the Bucks do well, because then that's bragging rights for my other friends who follow the whole NBA and my well-connected buddies and all this kind of stuff. But so here's the thing, right? David Bakhtiari. I'm getting back into following the Packers now that Rodgers is gone. By the way. People, like, I thought you were Packers fans, guys. I thought we were Packers fans. People are mad, like, you don't make fun of a guy who's injured. I didn't make fun of Aaron Rodgers when he was on the ground. Like, it was already over. But, like, so do you watch combat sports? Because I don't watch combat sports. Do you watch two women get into a ring and pummel each other bloody and till one submits and is not rendered unconscious? But Aaron Rodgers' Achilles was too far afield. Well, if me legitimately laughing at Aaron Rodgers being hurt was too far afield, I apologize for that. Where was I? Bakhtiari, right? Bakhtiari and the mayor of Door County, A.J. Dillon, right? A.J. Dillon, great guy, says all the right things, loves Wisconsin. David Bakhtiari kind of looks like... Fat Aquaman, Momoa, does it, like does the beer chug thing, great looking wife, the whole deal. Great player, right? Bakhtiari more than Dylan, right? And all of those dudes are like a half a game away from just the weight of so much criticism. Because people care, again, because people in Wisconsin care about the Packers. And the Bucs is still a meme stock, for a lot of these dudes. And so because of that, and again, I'm not talking about Frank and Eric or anybody in particular, but like for a lot of this, it's just like, well, no, actually the thing that we care about is, and the Brewers, I feel like I still hear a lot about a lot of you guys being mad about the Brewers in the same kind of way. People are mad about the Brewers. Can't believe he left the pitcher in too long. Can't believe this. Like the anger for what takes place with the Brewers and the Packers is palpable. But people are fine with Chris playing good every fourth game and all of this kind of, it's just, people are fine with it. Structurally, we were talking for a long time about the Bucks window, how to extend the Bucks window, what other championship teams did to extend it, how the 94 Rockets, name a team, 94 Rockets, how did the Shaq Kobe Lakers reload, all this kind of stuff. What would be a good idea? And who on our team is overvalued? And you know those names, right? Jumping back to the other topic for a minute. That's all the same topic. I'm sorry. This is really, let's see, 26, it's already 26 and a half minutes. I should probably stop. The stuff that you remember now as a sports fan, I think, cause everybody's so rich and nobody really cares. I will remember top 100 things as you know, top whatever up there or top things in this iteration of the Bucks, the Giannis version of the Bucks. Brooke Lopez holding it down last year when nobody else was playing and nobody else was playing well. And all of a sudden we got like all-star defensive player of the year caliber consideration, Brooke Lopez. Like you'll remember that kind of stuff as a sports fan. That stuff still like sticks to the bone. For some of you just looking at aggregated numbers over the course of the season, blah, blah, blah. With that being said, I listened to the excerpts of the Chris interview. I didn't listen to the Chris podcast or the Giannis podcast, but I've seen all the screenshots and listened to all of this. And so there's probably other stuff I'm forgetting to say, but let's just, cause this is Bucks news, right? And then what happened? He's going to see Hakeem. People got mad. Like, oh my God. Gilbert and all of this stuff, right? There was an Evan Turner bit of this saga where his people don't want to go to Milwaukee on the old stuff. I was offended at work listening to Locked On Bucks or whichever one was playing the excerpts, and they're doing like the Chris, like look at, again, it's JJ Redick, right? And they're like, oh, the Chris Batman thing came back, and it's like, okay, look at his numbers last year. Drew Holiday's Batman. He might be, or wait, is it Batman and Robin? It is Batman and Robin. So he's not. Yeah. Giannis has been lately. Giannis is now turning into Val Kilmer Batman. And Drew is Chris O'Donnell Robin, to be sure. But it's been Drew since he's been here. It's been more often than not. It's been Drew who's Robin. And we know that Drew is. Drew Holiday is Drew Holiday, right? So without going over the path of everything, everything that we talked about before, like, or everything that was in the video, which resurfaced, I could tell nobody watched that video. It was 6,000 views on a video. I could tell nobody really watched that video, because then when I put up like an excerpt of the last minute, people got really mad at it. And I was like, oh, okay, you didn't watch that. That's fine. I don't have a lot of time to watch other people's stuff myself. Giannis just says stuff, but it's still appropriate after all of this time to just think of him as an alien. And some people back channel are way more, are like, no, things have changed. No, this, I would have said that before, but now this is different. So some people that I know that you may know are like, no, this is way different. This is bad. And other people are like, this is nothing. And Chris, I think today or yesterday came out and said, nah, he's just always saying stuff. Here are my problems with it. Going back to the kind of the discourse from 10 days ago. So like my son, right? My son is awesome. Really good kid. Really good boy. Wants to be a really good kid. Really good boy. But when he was younger, and even now, they discern what the right thing is to say, but they don't really understand the context of the right thing. They're picking up on certain cues and mimetically kind of saying the right thing. And sometimes a kid will say something that seems like older than their age or something like that. But really, they're just saying, hey, I'm a good guy, right? And of course, we've now, again, you don't need, this is not anything deep that I'm saying right now. Everybody kind of generally discerns this. Giannis wants to say the right thing. But he's an alien who didn't play basketball. And so what I could do a video, I could do a whole nother boring half hour on this. But the thing with like the thing with the Giannis press conference that we talked about in the video, but the thing kind of going forward was that he's saying things. He's talking about the destination. I deserve, and essentially what he's saying, I'm stumbling in my speech because I'm trying to remember exactly the quote, so I'm not aggressively misquoting here as I sit in my car. He's talking about the celebration. He's talking about the champagne. He's talking about holding the trophy, and he's saying, I deserve that. I'm a winner. If I don't perceive everybody else as a winner, if I don't perceive everyone else isn't spending time with their family, like I'm not spending time with his family. Just the lack of self-awareness to not understand what that would, what criticism that would open him up for, right? And in a way, everybody calling him out on the brothers thing, of course, local media is not going to do that. But in a way, it allowed Shannon Sharpe and these guys, like, they got to talk about something, right? And we always talk about how they have to talk about something. And so when it's just a way for them to understand what to say about him, because in 2021, when he's winning, before it's like the circle of life of any sports star in the NBA is he can't get it done. It's sensation. This is going great. Can they be ahead of schedule? Oh, they're ahead of schedule. Even great. Here come the expectations. They're not ahead of schedule, which Giannis wasn't. Otherwise, he would have, you know, beat the Celtics in 2018 or whatever. Like, he was 2 years behind schedule to me, but that's a whole other thing. But either way, whatever player we're talking about, oh, he's ahead of schedule. Can he take the next step? Does the front office make some moves? Can he carry first take if they're talking about it? And then it's like, oh, this guy can't get over the hump. Can't get over the hump. Another year goes by. They don't get it done. Oh, is player X ever going to get it done? Now it's like year seven, right? And then 2021 comes around and he gets it done. And because his game isn't necessarily all that interesting, there was just, for these dudes, not a lot to talk about. Him running nepotism throughout the Bucks is interesting because it raises all these other... It's criticizable in a better way for media content than just somebody else played better. Or he trick free throws or whatever, because that it's a binary thing. Well, is he going to make them the next game? I don't know. Is he going to make them? You know, Stephen A can be like, until Giannis proves to me that, yes, okay, he did it in game six. Apparently, I'm unveiling the Stephen A impression. I didn't know I had. He did it in game six, but until he proves on the biggest stage that he can do it consistently, then, you know, and that's the whole thing. But like talking about something like that may happen or not happen is like talking about, can Josh Allen get it together and play mistake free football? Some say yes, Sam. Some say no, whatever, right? What was disrespectful, and I grasp why Giannis didn't think it was disrespectful, but he's talking about winning like I deserve to win another one. And again, this is what I don't think people, I articulated it as well as I thought I could in that video, guys, for sober articulated thoughts. You don't have to agree with it, but this is the way LeBron wrecked the league. This is what rings culture means. Is that he thinks, well, I need to be glorified. I need to get another one. It's like, I need to get another Oscar, right? I can't be walking around here with one Oscar. I'm Denzel Washington, right? I should have three by now. And that's kind of the thought. It's not like the process, it's the end result. Because if he wants to make the most obvious point in the world, he's a winner now. He's winning now. He's been winning. Like, all you have to do, like, if you've been in a top five team for 5 years or whatever it's been, you're a winning basketball player. You have failed after that. You have gotten to the playoffs and failed massively. But if you're just looking at the end goal, and the problem with Giannis, if you're just looking at the end goal, I mean, I'm just keeping it real. I'm going to judge you on that. But the problem with Giannis is, and I think it was revealed in those comments, he's got the mentality. He doesn't have the mentality. Here, let's throw out the word. He doesn't have the mentality of the hooper. That's right. I said hooper. He's not a hooper. But what I really mean, like, I mean that in like the Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson kind of sense. Because his craft really is working out, doing leg thrusts with Pat Connaughton and seeing how much he can squat with his brothers and doing all that. Like, he loves the work and the grind. That's what he talk about. Like, but again, like the stuff, oh, I'm going to send a message to the team that you need to be working as hard as me. Well, it's not about the work. It's about winning. There's a great quote. I'm really enjoying whichever Phil Jackson book that I'm reading one page at a time. It's the unauthorized one, where the guy just interviewed everyone else. Again, these are, I don't get how people are, it's the same thing with The Last Dance, that like this is a historical record of what everyone says. So if you go and interview everyone in Phil Jackson's life on some level, that's like better than having to get his sign off on it, right? If you've known him and covered him and done all this. And so the same thing. So Pippen looks terrible in the book because of course he did. But the quote that made me think of this book right now is Trent Tucker comes to the Bulls, whenever that is. If you don't remember who Trent Tucker was, he was kind of a, just think of Craig Hodges. He played for the Knicks. And like Hodges, he wasn't good that long, I don't recall. But he was just kind of a gunner. When people shot less threes, he was kind of a bomber like Craig Hodges. And we all forget who went to the Bulls because all these people who weren't iconic Bulls like Robert Parrish went there later. And so you forget that, obviously, Rodman. But was John Sally also a Bull? Like a lot of those guys, a lot of those old Pistons ended up on the Bulls. A lot of like washed up players that you know better from other teams ended up on the Bulls. And so this is all one take. 37-20, one take. Wow. I don't suppose you listen to too many podcasts where somebody will just yawn into the phone. Sorry about that, but yeah. So Trent Tucker comes to the Bulls, whatever year this would have been. And he misses two shots in a practice or a game. I don't remember what, but he's just got there. And Jordan says, okay, hey, man, you can miss two. You can't miss three. And obviously that's not literal, right? But it's describing the approach of like people who actually care about basketball and winning. So every conversation Giannis is have. Sorry, I probably ruined the story as I'm looking to see who's texting me right now. 5 minutes. Okay, five more minutes. Yep. So the idea, this is the thing. If you're just worried about how much weight you can lift and in the grind, like, because I don't actually think Giannis scrimmages. This is like the first epiphany in all this, where I was trying to think about what I could say about the Giannis situation that would be new and true and interesting and not what I'd already said, which has already proved to be true. I don't think he practices. And so you can say, oh, that it's benefited Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin that he doesn't want to team up with other players. But also, is he scrimmaging with other great players? Because I don't feel like I see a lot of that in videos. And because, again, he don't really know how to play basketball, right? Or to say it a different kind of way, is his game too savage for him to ever do the normal summer run Drew League kind of thing where it's like, you know, so it's everybody who play ball know that you do summer runs. And you do runs after you lift weights, or you do runs and you work on stuff, or you do runs and say, I'm going to go left every time. It's like Larry Bird in a game, but just like for practices. Larry Bird did it in games. He got bored. But you just say, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on this step back all summer. And yeah, we're playing games and we're keeping score and it's competitive and all this kind of stuff. But I'm coming back with this move. Not through drills. Not through just drilling it, which I don't believe. Old man stares at, yells at cloud is acting the same thing. But I believe you learn a lot from learning how to play three-quarter speed in a bunch of summer runs. Because there's something to that. There's something to that. And I don't, like, so correct me if I'm wrong. Do we ever really see Giannis do that? like, I feel like I see him and Pat Connaughton or other people or you know, lining up to shoot jumpers. But is his game too violent to ever truly that's a better way of saying it. Is his game too violent to ever truly practice, do you think? Like, he's a running back. He can't. He could sort of, you know, halfway do it, but he can't. Because what he does is bone crushing. But I just wonder about that, right? But for, you know, the true greats who are, and again, I'm talking about the true greats. I'm not talking about Gilbert Arenas or Jamal Crawford or these kind of guys. But, like, I don't say this in a disrespectful way. Maybe I should just stop. Well, I won't even say that. Here's the thing. If there's a reason, like Michael Jordan had a love of the game clause to hoop whenever he wanted, right? It's right there in the name, Hooper, to scrimmage, to open run, to I'm running Space Jam, like everyone will show up. You think he was scared, like Reggie Miller and all these other NBA players are there when he has the Space Jam dome? You think he's like, oh no, they're going to see my secrets? No, he was an alpha. It's like, they can fraternize, they can see my left, they can see the spin move, they can't stop it. Like, he was, Michael Jordan was in love with how much no one could stop him, right? He was in love with testing that at all times. Like, that was kind of the thing. Like, the weightlifting was just, you know, the eating your vegetables. And for Giannis, like, the weightlifting is the cheesecake, and I feel like the basketball is the vegetables. And so, obviously, you put him with a Dame. Again, how long have I been saying this? You put him with a Dame Lillard kind of guy. You put him with another guy who can win, like, multiple playoff games for you. Like, that doesn't matter as much. But he's just a hammer. And you need something else. So, I suppose I can stop there. There's probably other kind of points I wanted to make. But it's kind of running a little bit long. I just feel like people generally aren't being honest. And I also feel like, so here's the thing about dishonesty. The more people are dishonest about these things, the more that AJ Dillon, Bakhtiari, Avalanche comes later, because people are laying in the weeds for kind of these takes. And the takes don't really matter. But again, do you think Giannis, child of the internet that he is, on social media way too much, kind of acts like, do you think he thought that he was going to get clapped back on his brothers like that? Well, no, it's a blind spot. He didn't really think, why shouldn't he do that? I mean, that's Adam Silver's NBA. It's like, well, why shouldn't? I mean, absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? Why shouldn't I get my brothers this extra money? Like, it's admirable. It's just not the same thing as winning. And winning isn't working hard. Winning is, again, it's like you can't miss three shots. So we're not just going to bang our heads and do the same thing. Like, we're going to, again, because it goes back to the Budenholzer thing. If everyone is letting it fly, then, because criticism is healthy. But if everyone's letting it fly, you can say, hey, you missed this assignment or you did this or that. But you really can't criticize anyone's offense, because whatever offense takes place is fine. Right? But there's, I guess what I'm saying is, there's simply a higher level of winning. And it's a reason why we only have one ring and have only been to one finals. And, you know, part of it's coaching. Part of it, the supporting cast isn't consistently good enough and all this kind of stuff. But I just keep saying it. Giannis doesn't really, really understand basketball like that. And the decline may come. The decline may be falling off a cliff. And if that's what the deplorable Ben Thompson is talking about when he's like, oh, maybe Giannis should leave anyway now. Well, at least that sort of makes sense. As sad as this slow train crash seems like it may be. I'm going to stop here. I feel like there was something I was building to, but who knows? I'm like, zip it up, zip it out. Jordan Love continues. Jordan Love is fine. Jordan Love is going to be fine. The Packers have done it again. Jordan Love is going to be fine. And are we allowed to make Bears jokes? More on that perhaps some other time. Zip it up, zip it out. Go Bucks.